listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Do you love sci-fi, horror, and fantasy films? Then grab a badge for Otherworlds Film Festival, the country's premier sci-fi film festival. There'll be Q&As, panels, parties, and mixers. Rub elbows with up-and-coming and established filmmakers, as well as like-minded filmgoers. Come celebrate our 7th year, December 3rd through 6th, at the Galaxy Highland in Austin, Texas. Badges are now for sale at OtherworldsFilmFest.com. That's OtherworldsFilmFest.com.
From the two brothers, Kevin and Matthew McManus, who are director writers of this thing together. Man, there is an awful lot of like brothers making films together these days. I don't know what that's all about. Where's the sister teams? And no, I know about the Saskas. We're not talking about them.
That's but the only one.
These guys previously directed the comedy Funeral Kings and wrote for American Vandal, Da Vinci's Demons, and the Cobra Kai series. But now they've taken a rather sharp left turn into horror territory. The seaside slow burn of the innocuously titled The Block Island Sound. This is going to be one of those reviews, I hate to say, where I'm immensely frustrated by what I cannot actually say. I'm not able to address what's actually going on here, which I decidedly cannot without ruining the fun for you in watching it. It's not making me happy. So we might just get to it at some point in the review. When I say, for the record, gentlemen, and those gentlemen who will not break this ironclad rule of when I say it's okay to talk about it, are Adrian.
Yellow.
Did you say ELO? I love ELO. They're great. They should have done the soundtrack to this. This would have been amazing. LaWayne.
Hey, how's it going?
You're not
going
to follow that up with like Bachman Turner Overdrive or something?
Nope.
Okay. And Ryan, who I know is a King Crimson man.
What's up? I am a huge King Crimson fan. That is true.
There you go. There's my Crimson King. Anyway, let's get into the plot here. Harry, played by Chris Sheffield, lives with his dad, Tom, who, I swear to God, this actor, Neville Archambault, is actually a zombie, like in real life. He is the most terrifying human being to look at I think I've ever seen, and that's before he's supposed to be scary to look at. I looked at him up on IMDb. I'm like, every picture, I'm like, that's what that motherfucker actually looks like. He's got scary, big, crazy, veiny, facey, bulging eyes. Anyway, he freaked me out, but he plays a fisherman. Like, they live together in a beachfront house in Rhode Island, titularly in the Block Island Sound, and something is going on wrong with Dad, because seriously, there is no other reason you would cast this actor, because he just looks like somebody something wrong is going on with. He's got memory lapses. He's hearing weird growly sounds around him. He's having hallucinations, and then one morning, he sets out on his boat, and he just disappears. Harry and his sister Audrey, played by Michaela McManus, investigate, but there's no trace of him at first. Eventually, his body washes up and something seems to be wrong with it. But the doctor says, probably just got all beat up against rocks. And they're like, are you sure? All of this is very concerning. There's lots of dead fish and birds that are showing up, which is concerning. But what's really concerning is that now Harry, his son, is starting to hear a weird growly sound, have missing time, and hallucinate his dead father appearing and growling at him. Oh, and one more thing, and I just thought this is something, it's like a little cool, oh, well, that's a nice little bonus. Jim Cummings, who you really should remember from his fucking magnificent indie film he starred in and directed, Thunder Road, is here as a sort of conspiratorial friend of Harry's. But that's basically the story of this movie, as much as I'm willing to give you at this point. And I'm just going to launch off this discussion by saying this, while being a slow burn film, was one partially due to the performances, partially due to the sound design, which I thought was exceptional, and the score really drew me in until the end. I was genuinely kind of creeped out by this thing.
I was really getting creeped out by it too for a certain amount of time. And then I felt the more it went on, the less I got invested in it. I don't know exactly what it was, but obviously we're not going to go into what's going on in this film. But when you realize what's going on in this film, it was kind of disappointing to me. I thought, oh, I was thinking something completely different. And I don't want this to be a case of this isn't the movie that I saw in my head. I just felt like it was really interesting to a point, including Jim Cummings. Jim Cummings is always great. Thunder Road is fantastic, like you mentioned. And I really thought they were going to do more with his character, but he's kind of just a cameo.
He's only in here a little bit, enough for you to go, hey, look, kids, it's Jim Cummings. Or rather, hey, look, readers of IndieWire, it's Jim Cummings.
Well, he's kind of there to set up what I, again, without getting into things, what initially felt like what I called Chekhov's toxoplasmosis. Because I thought, you are laying this on so thick right at the beginning, this is clearly where you want us to go. And it is where they want you to go, but it's not the way you think it's supposed to go. So it is both heavy-handed and a red herring that actually sort of works. There's a lot of things like that in this movie. There are times I couldn't decide if they were trying to be too obvious, like they didn't trust the audience, or if they just wanted to make sure that you caught the things you needed to, so that when things switch, you know what's going on. And I don't know that that's necessarily a problem. It just felt kind of obvious.
I also liked this quite a bit and found it to be really suspenseful. And I was honestly like fairly engaged all the way through. But if I did have one major gripe, is that I feel like, especially toward the end, maybe there's a little bit of over-explanation with another character that sort of comes in, that I felt like everything is so kind of ambiguous in the best way possible. It kind of has like the Jaws effect in a way. Like, they're not really showing you much of this threat. It's more of like sort of the psychological repercussions of what's happening to these characters, and you're not really seeing what is happening. I really liked that about it, but I think maybe it could have been a little more ambiguous in the end, I guess. That's my point.
At the very end, there's like almost an epilogue with a little bit of a voiceover to explain an allegory to the audience in case you still don't get it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure we get it. We don't need that. I don't need that.
Sure.
And I think what this movie wants to do is take one of the hardest genres of horror to succeed at and sneakily get around to it being that. Because there's so many overly familiar tropes in that particular genre that are kind of yawn inducing and so few good examples of it actually working, that this almost had to take a backdoor to get to where it wanted to go to be this kind of genre.
And that genre is a sea captain horror.
Well, man,
very niche.
I'm sorry, am I wrong? This guy, Neville Archambault, the dad, is he not the scariest looking motherfucker, like, naturally, that you have ever seen in your life?
Yeah, he just looks like a dude that you don't have to do much to make him, like, the head zombie in whatever thing you're doing.
You don't have to do anything.
So he's in a movie that I'm really not a fan of. I want to say it's called 13 Cameras, which I thought was kind of disappointing. I think he's great in this. If there's one thing this movie has that I am for all throughout, is that this is a horror movie with really good performances. Mm-hmm. Even by the child actor who,
yeah.
I'm sorry, but every time I see a child actor, I think, please don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
And this kid did not fuck it up. She was really good.
I was like, is this movie from like 20 years ago? Because that looks like a child Cara Delevingne. I was like, that's her, right? It looks just like her, as like if she was like 8.
To get back really quick to Neville Archambault.
Yeah.
He is a scary looking guy, yet his performance, it really made me feel bad for mm-hmm. him. Like, you can tell that he's losing it and he doesn't want to be affecting the people around him, and it's kind of heartbreaking.
It's affecting because as that starts to be an experience with his son going through a similar thing and him realizing this is probably connecting and him having the same reasons for, on some level, for not wanting to admit that this is actually happening, it gives you a much deeper insight into what he's going through, having already seen this relationship play out between the dad and son on the other side of it. And I thought that was really interesting. I think they do a lot of interesting stuff with a type of characters we're not used to seeing as our protagonists.
The performances are really good in this. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about is how this movie looks. Hmm. It's really well shot. It has a lot of atmosphere just by being a boat on the water, and it's slightly cloudy, but then you add in the sound design And the sound design in this is pretty damn amazing. Because we talked a little about that, the creepy sound that some of these guys begin to hear. But everything about it, the creak of everything, the sound of water and everything, it's all really good. It really adds to the atmosphere of it, which is one of the things that kind of helps keep it going when it does kind of slow down a little bit.
I totally, totally agree with that. There's so many just amazing, eerie aerial shots, which just really give you a good sense of place that they're in and just felt a little bit like The Shining to me at points in that way.
You guys have gotten the general feeling of what we all felt about this to some degree, and we'll go still to our final thoughts, but we are going to discuss this in terms of spoiling what that thing is that we're dancing around here. So if you don't want to know any further and you're like, I want to save it for watching the movie, which I definitely recommend, then stop it here. Go listen to another review. We got plenty of other ones on the website to listen to. I will say that in general, it sounds like all of us to differing degrees recommend this film, though.
Yeah,
yes, for sure. I would say no check question. This one out. Maybe don't go rush out to see it, but see it.
So what we're talking about is ultimately, although this appears to be at first, I think we all agree this was looked like it was heading into Lovecraftian territory, but not in the pulpy Stuart Gordon way, but more in a sort of slow burn atmospheric way, like it going, this was going to get all Dagon at some point.
Yeah.
But it's not. What you've actually got is a alien abduction film that is going about it in a very different fashion. And part of that is because it takes so long into the movie before you start realizing the things that are happening are actually just variations on the familiar tropes from the alien abduction film, because your head has couched them in a different context. That when it happened, I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like the sound of the growly sound and it working with electronics. That's just the radio going crazy whenever the aliens are near it in their car or whatever, you know? I mean, that's, we've seen this before. And like the things missing from the boat, that's abduction syndrome. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool that they found a long way around to make us realize that, oh, what we're looking at is these things we're actually familiar with.
They lead you down that sort of Lovecraftian thing, though, because I joked about the Chekhov's toxoplasmosis, right, where they explain the whole thing in the movie, but basically the idea is that there's this microbe that infects creatures and basically turns them into slaves for another creature. And when you see most of the time, the stuff they're gathering up is like food things or living things, like an animal or a person or whatever, it keeps leading you toward this thing, like there's a creature that's eating this stuff or consuming this stuff, and they basically have like some sort of weird supernatural toxoplasmosis. And then they turn around and it's like, no, they're just bringing you shit because they want to see what you will do. And one of the things we didn't talk about is that one of Harry's sisters is like some sort of marine biologist or whatever, where they like tag animals and then turn them back into the wild. And you realize that that's what the aliens are basically doing. They're testing the animals and then throwing them back. In fact, we talked a little bit about the voiceover at the end that almost, just in case you didn't get it, that's what they're talking about. So it was kind of a really interesting way to not only completely switch what they were doing, but even take the alien abduction thing and, like you were saying, Chris, change it around and make it both familiar and interesting at the same time.
I don't know. I think these are just lazy aliens. I think they were told, hey, go collect this stuff. And the alien on the ship was like, I could just make somebody else do it.
That's a lot of supposition, and I like it, sir. This is The Block Island Sound by Kevin Smith.
Oh, yeah, there you go. It's two aliens sitting up there talking about Star Wars and making everybody else do their stuff.
Man, I wasn't even supposed to abduct anyone today. Well, let's go into final thoughts. Adrian, why don't you get us started?
I think this horror movie is any kind of horror movie you want it to be up until it tells you what it actually is. That being said, the performances are great. I just wasn't a big fan of where it ended up, but it did feel natural near the end, aside from some exposition. This has great sound design. This is shot great. Whoever filmed this, if they're ever going to make another Silent Hill movie, this is the person to get. I would say check it out. And I really want to see more horror from these two directors. I'm going to give this 3.5 birds on the windshield out of 5.
Ryan?
This genuinely surprised me in the best way possible, and I would say when this comes out on VOD, it is absolutely worth checking out if you are a horror fan of any kind. Despite like my minor complaints with it, I was hooked. I was engaged the whole time. Like Adrian was saying, like the sound design is just incredible, and it really pulls everything together. And I think just like the fact that the performances are so strong in a slow burn horror movie like this is just so important, and they nail it in that sense. And I'm going to give this 7.5 friendly dogs who did not deserve it out of 10.
Which, say, that's 2, but
it is 2.
Yes, we get your. I actually was thinking about that, and I was like, should I use that? Some people are like, no, they kill a dog. I ain't going to go see it. Hey, it's off camera, folks. Don't worry.
I'm a cat guy anyway, so it's all right.
Yeah, me too. Luane?
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered everything. I also echo Adrian's sentiment that I want to see what else these guys are going to do, especially if they're going to do horror. And yeah, man, if they're going to do another Silent Hill, that'd be fantastic. I'm totally in for that. The pace of it, there's kind of a lull for me partway through. There's a few little pseudo-scientific things that kind of made me roll my eyes, but that's just more of a personal issue than anything else. This is more than technically competent. It's superb in so many ways. It looks good. It sounds good. It's creepy. The performances are uniformly good for a low-budget independent horror movie. I was almost surprised. But I think in the end, I'm going to go about 3.5 out of 5 brothers that aren't from Boondock Saints.
I mean, we're all largely on the same page. I think my main criticism here is that, yes, it sags a bit more than it needs to in the middle, but it is sort of akin to the style of horror. I wonder how you could get away with what they're getting away with here, which, like I said, is the big trick, slow reveal that, oh, it's actually an alien film, without it taking as long as it does to get there. I'm not sure you can and make it work as well. And ultimately, I did really enjoy this pretty much just how it was. I would have loved to have seen them do more with the Jim Cummings character, who is definitely one of the most energetic and engaging people in this movie. But it is also to a point that he stands out a bit as maybe even a little cartoonish, but he certainly is entertaining to watch. But everyone is very good here. Michaela McManus is terrific in this film, who I can only assume is the sister or cousin or something of the directors, the McManus brothers. She's great in here. The lead actors, Chris Sheffield, is terrific in here. Neville, Jesus, man, how do you even look at yourself in the mirror? You are terrifying.
Oh, leave him alone.
It's like if 15 years from now, someone took Luane and squeezed the side of his head till his eyeballs started to pop out.
Now we're attacking Luane too?
No, it's true. I was actually kind of thinking something not too different from that.
He doesn't look, he looks like something has gone horribly wrong with old Luane. I'm sorry, he does.
There are a couple of dudes in my family that don't look too different from that, so I'm sure it's coming for me.
This is a really solid move into horror for these guys. I have not seen their previous film, which was sort of a Buildings Roman comedy. I haven't really heard much about it at all. But this one, I suspect, is going to actually get a lot of attention. Unfortunately, it's only playing festivals right now. This is premiering at Fantasia, so it might be a little while before y'all are able to see it. But man, I hope y'all are really able to see this, because this is really good and is added to the very slowly growing list of alien abduction horror that is actually worth seeing. And there ain't a lot. I mean, there's like The Beach House, Honeymoon. Yeah, that's all I can think of. So I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 really freaked out joggers.
I don't know how much it would actually cost, but if we can get that Jim Cummings character to have a spinoff where he just investigates conspiracy theories,
seriously,
I will do everything in my power to fund that personally.
God, yes.
I would just love that moment that you would have in that where that's his whole thing. And then someone brings him some QAnon stuff and he just looks at him and goes, what are you, an idiot? You can't actually believe that stuff.
That would be amazing.